From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Fishery exports up amid COVID-19 pandemic. Rupiah strengthened to 15,438 per US dollar on Friday morning. Now the news in details. Indonesia's fishery exports in the first quarter of 2020 increased as trade restriction with China amid coronavirus concerns pushed businesses to find new markets, according to the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fishery. The increase in the value of Indonesian fishery export during the January to March period 2020 was affected by the closure and restrictions on imports by China since the beginning of 2020 due to the coronavirus outbreak. According to Director General of Competitiveness Strengthening at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fishery, Nilanto Prabowo, the COVID-19 pandemic prompted exporter countries such as Indonesia to defer shipments to the US and European markets, the largest markets for shrimp and tuna products. The increase in export was mainly noted for processed raw materials, retail supply, ready-to-serve, and durable fish such as canned fish. The United States ranked first among the five main export destination countries in January to March 2020. Export to China, which came next. The Indonesian rupiah strengthened against the US dollar in the Jakarta Interbank Market on Friday morning. On the back of positive sentiment toward risk assets, the rupiah soared 202 points, or 1.29%, to 15,438 rupiah per US dollar, as compared to 15,640 rupiah per US dollar earlier. Monex Invest into the Future Chief Researcher Ariston Chandra stated, the risk assets receive a positive sentiment after some European countries and the US announced plans to lift the coronavirus lockdown to revive their economy along with a slow pace of spread of coronavirus. US President Donald Trump had recently announced a guide to lifting the coronavirus lockdown in three phases, and 29 states can lift it in the near future. Deputy Chairperson of the People's Consultative Assembly Lestari Murdiat has urged the government to give serious consideration to the recent spike in dengue, hemorrhagic fever, or DHF cases in Indonesia, which now exceed 41,000. She said in a statement on Friday, quoted by Antara, that she understands the government is currently facing complex and severe health issues, particularly the COVID-19 outbreak. But the trend of increasing number of dengue cases should not be ignored. Based on data provided by the Ministry of Health, the number of dengue cases has reached 41,883 as of April 14, 2020, which is much higher than last year when the country recorded 40,425 cases. Lestari Murdiat has called for vigilance as the death toll due to the DHF has also been quite high. As of April 14, 2020, Indonesia has recorded 266 deaths compared to 354 last year. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. More than a quarter of Myanmar's prison population is being released, the president's office announced on Friday after calls grew to ease pressures on overcrowded jails with coronavirus fears gripping the country. Myanmar grants an annual amnesty to thousands of prisoners to mark its April New Year holiday, but this is the largest recorded in recent years. It comes as governments around the world, including the US, parts of Europe and Colombia, grapple the overcrowded prisons as fear spirals of virus outbreaks behind bars. A statement Friday from the President's office stated that to mark Myanmar's New Year, by respecting humanitarian ground and peace in mind of the people, the President pardons altogether 24,896 prisoners from various prisons. Africa could become the next epicenter of the coronavirus outbreaks, the World Health Organization has warned. UN officials also say it is likely the pandemic will kill at least 300,000 people in Africa and push nearly 30 million into poverty. The past week in Africa has been a sharp rise in coronavirus cases. There have been almost 1,000 deaths and almost 19,000 infections across Africa. So far, much lower rates than in parts of Europe and the US. The UN Economic Commission for Africa, which warned 300,000 could die, called for a $100 billion safety net for the continent, including halting external debt payments. The WHO says the virus appears to be spreading away from African capitals. It has also highlighted that the continent lacks ventilators to deal with the pandemic. Coronavirus contact tracing apps will be rolled out in Europe and Australia in the next 2 to 4 weeks, official says. As quoted by BBC.com, Germany's Health Minister Jens Spahn said in his country, apps will be ready to download in 3 to 4 weeks. Meanwhile, Australia plans to push out a contact tracing apps within 2 weeks. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said using the app would be voluntary to begin with, but he did not rule out making it compulsory. Contact tracing apps are being developed by several countries around the world. They typically use Bluetooth or satellite locations data to record who a person has been in close proximity to. That information can then be used to notify app users if someone they have met becomes ill with COVID-19 and declares their status in the app. NASA has announced the next month it will launch its first manned mission from U.S. soil in almost 10 years. The rocket and the spacecraft it is carrying are due to take off from Florida's Kennedy Space Center on May 27, taking two astronauts to the International Space Station's ISS. Both the rockets and spacecraft were developed by private company SpaceX. NASA has been using Russian rockets for manned flights since its space shuttle was retired in 2011. If successful, SpaceX, headed by billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk, will become the first private firm to send NASA astronauts into space. The Falcon 9 rocket and Crew Dragon spacecraft will take off from the Space Center historic Pad 39A, the same one used for the Apollo and shuttle missions. It will take astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Curley approximately 24 hours to reach the ISS. One American astronaut and two Russian cosmonauts are currently aboard the ISS. That was the news. I'm Luka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first news comes from Banar Meriah Aceh province, where the government of Banar Meriah Aceh is preparing medical personnel with the simulation and standard equipment to handle the body of COVID-19 patient who dies. The simulation was centered at the local district sports and arts building. Banar Meriah region Abuya Sarkawi, through assistant second Abdul Mu'iz, said on Friday that the simulation was a form of anticipation if at any times there were casualties with symptoms of COVID-19 in Banar Meriah. In the simulation, medical personnel were not only taught the procedures for handling the bodies of COVID-19 victims according to WHO provisions, but also were provided with how to handle the bodies according to Islamic religious procedures. Medical personnel have also been provided with personal protective equipment or PPE according to the provisions. The next information comes from Bekasi, West Java, where Bekasi Deputy Mayor Tri Adianto Cahyono, accompanied by the Jatikramat Lurah and Bekasi City Agriculture and Fisheries Service officers harvested some vegetables, namely bok choy and kale. Together with the management of hydroponic plants in Jati Kramat Sub-District, Jati Asi Sub-District, Bekasi City, on Thursday. The deputy mayor appreciated the hydroponic planting steps, especially in helping to deal with the impact of COVID-19 for public or soup kitchens used in the Jati Asi District office. Bekasi City government itself, during the large-scale social restrictions PSBB from April 15 to April 28, 2020, set up public kitchens in all sub-district offices in Bekasi City. These were built to provide assistance to poor families and families affected by the COVID-19 outbreak. Last information is from Cimahi, West Java. The reaction of residents of the Puri Asri Complex, Cipagran Village, North Cimahi Sub-District, Cimahi City, towards the families of victims of the coronavirus receive appreciations from the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo. Mutual cooperation and help showed by the people of Cipagran in helping their neighbors affected by the coronavirus, according to the President, should be echoed in the emergency condition of the coronavirus in Indonesia. Responding to the appreciation from President Joko Widodo, Chairman of Cipagran Asri Forum, Yuli Setio Indartono, said he was very grateful. Moreover, the head of state made residents of Cimahi, especially Cipagran Asri, one of the complex for mutual cooperations in tackling the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents of the Cipagran Asri complex Cimahi were initially restless because one family who lived in their neighborhood tested positive for the coronavirus. However, careful explanation and understanding were given by community leaders to their residents. As a result, they can help supply the needs of the family who is still undergoing independent isolation at home. The concern of the local people towards them would boost their spirits to be able to recover quickly. That was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event of Asian African Conference on April 18, 1955. The Asian African Conference was held in Bandung City, West Java on April 18, 1955. The conference took place until April 25, 1955, and it was attended by representatives from 29 Asian and African countries. This conference was aimed at establishing a stronghold of the power of the third world countries to face the two superpowers, West and East. At the end of the conference, the Asian-African Declaration was signed, and it consisted of an agreement to hold economic and cultural cooperation between third world countries and to recognize the rights to determine the fate of Asian and African nations. In addition, this conference also issued a resolution against the occupation, including the French occupation of New Guinea. The Asian African Conference was also an embryo to the formation of the Non-Aligned Movement Organization. We turn to the event on April 18, 1979, that the Revolutionary Military Parade held by the Islamic Republic of Iranian Armed Forces. The Islamic Republic of Iranian Armed Forces held large-scale military parades in various parts of Iran. The purpose of this military parade was to convey an allegiance to the supreme leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. This parade was warmly welcomed by the people who enthusiastically participated in the parade. Then, the day is commemorated every year by the name of Armed Forces Day. We end today in a story with an independence of Zimbabwe. On April 18, 1980, Zimbabwe, which was originally named Southern Rhodesia, obtained its independence. Since the 16th century, the Portuguese had come to the region and dredged the earth's wealth of the Zimbabweans. Then, since 1889, Cecil Rhodes founded the British African Trading Company. Then, in 1923, the British government officially made Southern Rhodesia a colony. After the end of World War II and the weakening of Britain, the black people of Rhodesia launched fierce resistance and formed armed groups. Since 1970, armed clashes began between the British government and the native peoples. In 1978, the white government agreed to step down, and in 1979, elections were won by the black party. Finally, on April 18, 1980, Zimbabwe's independence was proclaimed. And listener, that was Today in History.
Cancang hanya diriku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
What's up, Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. Today's on Minister prepares mitigation scheme for COVID-19 affected SMEs. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Teten Mas Duki, during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 15, said he had prepared two mitigation schemes for micro, small and medium businesses affected by the spread of the coronavirus, namely through the economic mechanism for those still survive and social assistance mechanism for the ones that can no longer do business or sell. Previously, in a limited cabinet meeting on the same day, President Joko Widodo directed that economic stimulus policies be prioritized for micro, small, and medium enterprises, a sector that contribute to gross domestic products by up to 60%, with employment rates of up to 97%. In order to roll out the two SIM, Minister Teten Mas Duki revealed that there are six main programs approved by President Jokowi, including stimulus on credit installment and interest for 6 months for the recipient of People's Business Credit, KUR, and Ultra Micro Credit under 10 million rupiah. Distribution for People's Businesses Credits is carried out through various means, from the Revolving Fund Management Institute to the State Pawn Shop. While for recipients of Ultra Micro Credit under 10 million rupiah, the distribution is carried out through savings and credit cooperatives, rural credit banks or BPR, including Syariah and FinTech. The government will also give an injection of new credit financing, especially for ultra micro credit using People's Business Credit. It will be expanded through various channels of the government's public service agency, such as savings and loans cooperatives, rural credit banks, and Baitul Mawat Tamwil or Mandiri Business Centers. Some other policies include the abolition of taxes for 6 months to provide a purchasing power stimulus for micro, small, and medium enterprises products. For the ultra-micro that cannot work, the government is preparing to expand social assistance, including the work or unemployment card. There is also an integrated program for the implementation of social assistance, cheap food staples with the involvement of traditional stalls. Another program is an economic stimulus for the purchasing power of micro, small, and medium enterprises products so that demand remains. Teten Mas Duki said, the government also provides stimulus assistance for businesses that can still survive and can even sell according to market demand, especially in the culinary sector and garment industry that produces personal protective equipment or PPE. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Mungkin kata
our service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you to one of the tourism destinations in Bengkulu province. If you are bored with mediocre tourism attractions, Air Putih Lebong, which is located in Air Putih Village, Pinang Belapis District, Lebong Regency, Bengkulu Province, could be an alternative tour for you. This tourism destination is called Air Putih Lebong, not because the water is white like milk, but because the water is very clear. The uniqueness of this tourism spot is the combination of cold water and hot water flowing in one river. The very cold and fresh water flows directly from the spring in Mount Semelaku along the natural Air Putih River. From the surface of the water, various sizes of rocks are visible at the riverbed. Around the river, there are a lot of green trees. So when it's sunny, anyone who has a hobby of swimming does not need to be afraid of heat because the place is shady with lush trees. Of the leafy trees and fresh air give visitors a special pleasure. Lebong Regency, which is located in the mountains and surrounded by valleys, makes the air in this tourism spot cool with beautiful panorama. Here, there are also several gazebos that visitors can use to take rest. If you are hungry, you don't need to worry because there are also several stalls that provide snacks and drinks. Attraction of the Air Putih Lebong is the existence of hot spring destination at the same place. The banks of the Air Putih River are filled with large mountainous rocks that release heat. So many tourists come to this tourism site by bringing raw eggs to be boiled on the edge of the river. Usually, after being tired of swimming in a cold river, someone can enjoy hot boiled eggs that are left on the banks of the Air Putih River. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Air Putih Lebong, tourism destination in Bengkulu province. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Bagi diriku. Jagakan cinta walau pahit terkadang. Kau yang ku cinta selalu setia bersahaja saat cinta hampa. Tak lagi berkata dapatkah kita bertahan terus bersama.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about transparent masks for people with disabilities. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Independent isolation related to coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19 pandemic was announced by stakeholders, many people looked for alternative activities to eliminate boredom at home. As a result, many skilled hands appeared during the COVID-19, which has attacked a number of cities across Indonesia. Technological and non-technological innovations have emerged to help prevent the spread of the virus from being more widespread. One innovation that can be done is the production of face masks personal protective equipment used by all levels of society. However, standard mask products on the market have drawbacks for those who are deaf. Masks that cover from the nose to the chin make it difficult for readers of lip movements to be able to communicate. This has triggered the creation of transparent masks for the deaf. Chairperson of the Indonesian Deaf Welfare Movement or GERKATIN, Dwi Rahayu Februarti, made transparent masks so that the deaf people could continue to communicate with people who could hear when wearing masks. The idea of making a transparent mask she got was that after she watched the posting of the Facebook account of the Commissioner for Human Rights, Bahrul Fuad, who is familiarly called Chak Fu. This transparent mask is made of patchwork and mica plastic. The materials are available at home. With sewing techniques, she innovates by herself after seeing the tutorial to make transparent masks through videos on YouTube. The ready-made transparent masks are distributed free of charge for deaf people. However, not all of them, because Dwi still sees the ability of the workforce. That was Miscellany for today with the topic Transparent Mask for People with Disabilities. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you then!
Masa di mana kita bersama, ku buka lembar demi lembar buku ingatan kita dulu. Ku berbisik dalam benak ini, dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu. Tak terasa tetesan air mata surat ini. Ku berharap ku sentuh dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Sampul Surat. Receiving news from beloved one is the happy, most waited thing and makes happy. Moreover, he has waited it for years. The song Sampul Surat tells about sad story in love. He hopes to receive a piece of information from his lover, but what he wants to say and what he receives are only a leather cover. Well, listener, here is Didi Kempot with keroncong song entitled Sampul Surat.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
sing reri duati ngelingake seliramu sing tak tresnani pengen nangis ngetok keluh neng pipi suara waro senajan mung ngono ngimpi ngalemong ngalem neng dadaku tambah nono rasa kangen neng atiku ngalemong ngalemong neng aku ben radem kesiram utaneng dalu kayangan watu gede kalingan mendunge udan telasono atine wong sing kasmaran setyo janji seprene tansah kelingan ademe
Indonesia.
Senyuman ku balas cinta pertama.
Cinta
ini melanda. Begitu nyata. Begitu
cinta,
nyata.
Cinta, cinta.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.